And so now, in chapter 8 here, kind of in the middle, he wants to give us a new historical perspective that scripture gives us. And he says that in this section, he intends to go more deeply into scripture's rationale. Why are the biblical writers so sure of God's justice and goodness? Let God be true and every man a liar. How can the writer of Paul, the writer, be certain of that? Well, as we have seen, they are not unaware of the problem of evil. Around them are all sorts of voices challenging the goodness and justice of God. Jesus meeting with both the Pharisees and the lawyers, the people who should know the answers to the charges that they bring about, and they come to God, they come to Jesus, and not believing that he's God, or not wanting to believe that he's God, but not taking the word that was presented to them with the answers that Jesus knew. Jesus being the word, declaring the having the word declared, sending out the Spirit to inspire the biblical writers to write down the word. I mean, he's going to be the best source, but they're also using this to trick him. And so he's saying, listen, all the answers are there for you. And so we see that continuation from Old Testament to New Testament as well. Well, he says here that one answer, of course, essentially the answer's last section is, well, listen, God says so, and that ought to be enough. Now, we might not like it, but again, God is God. He's this entity who has made only everything and ordered everything so that it continues, and so much so that we still don't understand it. And even with the not Bronze Age goat herders that have supposedly led us, but these big brain scientists who want to say, well, all right, there are these multitude of mini universes that exist, and so that's how we can trick ourselves into to saying, well, evolution is possible because we're just one of infinity worlds out there, and so it must have occurred here because we have a greater chance with that. And so even with all that, God has made and ordered this world so that we can know things, that we can be justified in knowing things, that we can understand the laws of logic and how God thinks. And then also, God has given us both an internal conscience to understand kind of a natural theology of morality, but also he's given us his word. And those are none of the things that God has to do. He didn't even have to create, but he chooses to create. And so now God operates a world where he gets to direct. And so when the actors go, well, but I have other ideas, he says, listen, look at the back of the chair. It says not just director, but God on the back of it.
Yeah, exactly. And so Frame tells us, especially from the when his examination of Romans chapter 9 here, he says that there are certain things that we can see clearly with regard to this. And this was the other section, right? We have no right to complain against God, and when we do, we express our disobedience, right? God is under no obligation to give us any intellectually satisfying answer to the problem of evil. He expects us to trust us in spite of that. God is sovereign. He's not to be questioned in connection with the problem of evil. It's rather to be underscored his sovereignty. God's word is true. It's altogether reliable. As a matter of fact, God is not unjust. He is, in fact, holy and just and good. And so Frame says, and for all practical purposes, the answer is, God says so, and that ought to be enough, right? That's the answer. But he says, now this is not the only biblical answer, or rather, it's not the full biblical answer. Scripture also tells us some things about how God reveals and therefore vindicates his goodness, right? And so he says that we may summarize this by saying that God vindicates his justice by giving us, notice, a new historical perspective by helping us to see history through his eyes. And so he wants us to consider how the past, the present, and the future look through the eyes of God. And that will give us some help with regard to wrestling through this issue of the problem of evil from a biblical response perspective.
Right. Think about one of your favorite books. Maybe the author is still alive, goes on a podcast, and what do you talk about? We don't say, well, you know, why did this character do this? And, oh, what made you choose this path for this character? Can you explain your writing process and what you wanted to accomplish? And so you talk to the author of the story. And so that's what God is offering us a glimpse here through his revelation.